Hello, you're listening to
Crime Chicks,
a true crime podcast devoted to our listeners.
Warning, guys, this is not for kids. Today, we're going to cover the story of Robert Joe Long, the extended version, going into a little bit more depth about his victims.
My name is Piper White.
And my name is Tierra Brown. Okay, yeah. Guys.
Just like last week, we are going to just warn everyone that there are trigger warnings. Within this episode, we do get more into the crimes that he committed, which include sexual assault. So if you are triggered by any of those things, please do not listen further.
Yes, and like we said at the top of the show, this is not for kids. It's very sensitive information, graphic, and just please go ahead and stop listening now if you know that some of this may not sit well with you. Now that we got all the warnings out of the way, all right, I just want to kind of update you guys on some local news out of West Virginia. On Tuesday, the Greenbrier County Sheriff Bruce Sloan confirmed that 5 people died after a fire in Greenbrier County. And according to that release, deputies and state police were initially dispatched to the residential house fire on Flint's Creek Road near Williamsburg, West Virginia. The fire department, from multiple locations, were on the scene. Ambulance were on the scene. The West Virginia Fire Marshal's Office arrived on the scene as well to conduct their information. And four victims suffered fatal injuries, were located inside and removed from the residence. And another victim was located outside of the home. And crews on the scene continue to search for a possible 6th victim. So there's just a lot going on right now. The interior structure just completely burnt. All the victims were transported to the West Virginia State Medical Examiner's Office for examination. They're developing a timeline to the sequence of deaths leading up. And the investigation is continuing as evidence at the scene is being examined and processed. So, you know, with all of that being said, this seems kind of interesting, you know, and when we had a reporter out on the scene, it was just a really, really tight, not a lot of information being released. So I've just got a lot of questions, and we're going to keep you guys updated as that becomes, you know, available for us, and hopefully cover it in depth so you can kind of know more about what's going on here, because these were little kids involved, Piper.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Like preschool age, I think a first or second grader, like young babies.
I feel like that's unheard of too.
It's reminding me of the Sauter children, though, not really completely.
But the burning of the...
Yeah, the burning of the house. There was 5 kids in the Sauter children, but I think there's 6 involved in this. But...
Yeah.
A lot going on here. But I think there was that. And then another thing that we updated you all on our Instagram was Azariah Mitchell. It was a Raleigh County / Fayette County case that was updated finally it was a week ago, roughly. So what would that be?
We'll definitely keep you all updated because I'm interested and I know you are as well. And hearing what's to come of this story. Because I feel like it does remind me of the Sauter children.
Yeah.
But obviously that was like years and years ago.
Yeah, I think that was like on December 24th as well.
Yeah, it was in December.
I actually met a Fayetteville firefighter that's been there for years. And I think his dad worked there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And his dad knows someone that's related to the Sauter family.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of conspiracy, he says, going on, circulating with that still. Which, you know, is expected. There was just, it's just that time was just not really well reported. It was a weird, weird situation. But let's get back on gear, just to the show in general. Just want to thank you guys again for the 200 followers, 200 plus followers now. A lot of support coming from you guys. Would love to see reviews, though. We haven't had a review in what, like August?
Yeah, we would love new reviews.
We need a new review so that we can kind of see how we progressed over time. You can even if you've done a review before, you're allowed to do another review. Just kind of to update us and let us know. What was the Piper?
And you can let us know what you think of season 2.
Yeah, a whole new season. We're doing things completely different. Do you guys like it? Yes or no? Let us know on the iTunes or the podcast app. Actually, go to our name, scroll all the way to the bottom of the show, and you'll see where you can either rate us 5 stars or less, and you can leave us a review, and it'll show up, I think, within 24 hours.
Yes, you are right.
Okay. Any business you want to take care of?
That's all. Let's get into it.
Let's get into it. All right. So from 1980 to 1983, Bobby began to terrorize the Florida communities of Miami, Ocala, is that how you say it?
That's how I would say it.
In Fort Lauderdale as the classified ad rapist. 3 years he went by the classified ad rapist, but it wouldn't be long before he graduated from a serial rapist to a serial killer. For 8 months in 1984, Bobby Joe Long kidnapped, raped, and murdered 9 young women in Tampa before inexplicably choosing to let one of them go. That choice proved to be his undoing, as she would later help put him away, ending his murder streak and sending him to death row, where he would be lethally injected 35 years later.
That's crazy to me. First of all, just a pause real quick. One, that it went on for that long, because it was very, like we just stated, he went by the classified ad rapist. So the fact that people were still like calling in those ads, like getting people to come to their house, I don't know. I would be scared to do that.
It blows my mind.
Able to get caught sooner. It
blows my mind that anyone uses ads to, well, I think, didn't he like kind of like warp some of the things that he said in the ads, not really specifically asking for sex, or was that all it was? Because no. I think he kind of tricked people.
No, he would pretend he was like a repairman. And so midwives and, or not midwives, but like stay at home wives and mothers would call the number on the ad to get something fixed within the house, and then he would show up, and that's when he would do his killings. So that's how he got the name. So the ads were very misleading. It wasn't like for sex work or anything. It was for like plumbing or electrical problems, stuff like that. So, but personally, I would just be too scared. Like after this started developing, I mean, it was kind of like a signature, his signature, way of killing people. So I would just kind of be too scared to call someone at this point in time, but he got away with a lot by doing this, which is surprising to me.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think around the 1980s, I guess, getting advertisement out there maybe wasn't as easy, and it was really reputable to use newspaper ads.
Yeah.
But, obviously, as you've seen, that's dwindled down over the years, and rightfully so, because now you can do background searches, but that just sucks.
Yeah, and so, like we said, he would prey on housewives in midday and attack them. He would drop by while their husbands were working, and his signature was to produce a knife, bound his victims, rape them violently, and then after that rob their homes before he left the scene.
Stop.
Yeah, and so which, what? And like I said, it's surprising that he got away with doing this for so long, since it was like a repetitive thing that he was doing to a lot.
I bet they had so much evidence when they went into his house, because he's obviously keeping trophies.
Well, what's insane to me is he got convicted of rape in November 1981, but he was cleared on an appeal through a discovery of witnesses alleging the victim's consent.
That was air quotes right there for witnesses from Piper. Yeah,
just, I have a hard time believing there were witnesses, and throughout the research that I was doing, I didn't really hear anything other than those witnesses, so that's why I air quoted it, because I don't think
This is AKA they dropped the ball in this case.
Yeah. So the attacks, obviously the attacks continued, and he started murdering women shortly after this. So unlike the 50 women Bobby raped, the victims he began to murder were selected from the ranks of prostitutes or other women who he viewed as tramps. And I put those in quotes as well. So
I think this is him kind of, and if you remember from our last show, kind of talking about his relationship with his mother. I'm thinking he's visualizing these women and kind of contorting his view into what he thought his mother was, viewing them as that so that it's easier for him to kill them and take out his aggression on them.
Yeah. It's sick to me that, one, he got away with raping over 50 women alone. And then on top of that, that wasn't enough for him. So then he had to start raping people, but then also murdering them.
Well, it was in 1983 that he decided to move back to Canova with his parents, where he began to search for trucking jobs and stumbled upon a job in Huntington as an x-ray technician. It wasn't long after that that he was fired for telling female patients to undress, even though they didn't need to. And if I'm not mistaken, this x-ray place was like for veterans. So that's just disrespectful in so many ways. Between May and November 1984, he strangled, stabbed, and shot at least 9 victims, with a 10th suspect by police, but never charged against him. The first of Bobby Joe Long's victims was 20-year-old Artis Wick, who was abducted, raped, and strangled on March 27, 1984. Her remains were found on November 22nd, 1984, was the day after my sister's birthday, and it was often forgotten that she was Bobby Joe Long's first victim due to the delay in finding her body. On May 13th, the body of 19-year-old, and I'm just going to spell this first name, unless Piper, you want to go ahead and give that a shot? Go ahead and give it a shot.
No way.
Go ahead.
N-G-E-U-N.
Space. Lana Long. Let's just call her Lana. Lana Long. An exotic dancer at Nebraska Avenue's Sly Fox Lounge. I like the name of that. And her body was discovered in a field. She was nude and bound with a cord tied around her neck.
And then underneath her body was a white scarf tied in a knot. On June 24th, 1984, 22-year-old Elizabeth Loudenbach's body was discovered fully clothed in an orange grove. She had been raped and strangled. Elizabeth was a factory worker who had never been involved in prostitution. She just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, simply walking down Nebraska Avenue, just blocks from her home, when she was abducted by Bobby on the evening of June 8th. And then forensic analysis confirmed that these murders were all connected. So this is when they start piecing together that...
that evidence that they should have connected together a long time ago, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because this is just the murder, like, not even, like, they're just now realizing that these are connected, and this is because of the murders that are happening now, not just the 50 women that were raped beforehand, which is insane and sick to me.
How do you get away with 50? Just 50 is such a big number.
Yes.
God bless. Bobby's fifth victim was 21-year-old Vicki Elliott, who disappeared on September 7, 1984. On her way home from waitressing at the Ramada Inn. Elliot's body was not found until November 16th, 1984. She had been strangled. And on October 7th, 18-year-old Chanel Williams' body was found, and she was a sex worker, and she was abducted from Nebraska Avenue. Her profile differed from everyone else. She was the only Black victim that hadn't been bound and had died from a gunshot wound. So she was nude and her clothes lay next to her, and forensic tests on Williams' clothing revealed the presence of those tiny red fibers. Tiny red fibers.
The tiny red fibers come from earlier, I believe there was a red scarf on a different victim. 1 week later, 28-year-old Karen Densfriends, is that how you would say that?
Densfriends, yeah.
Body was found in an orange grove. She had been strangled and bludgeoned to death.
Ooh.
Karen had also been working as a prostitute on Nebraska Avenue. Ligature marks were present on her neck, and she had been bound as well.
I wonder why Chanel was the only one that was shot in the head and neck, and the only black one.
She was the only black one, I think, that wasn't bound. Because he typically bound all his victims.
No, she was the only black victim, hadn't been bound, and had died from a gunshot wound.
Yeah, so she
it was because she didn't fit his profile that he shot her. He maybe didn't want to torture her.
Maybe so. Because I think a lot of his victims had to do with pent-up anger towards his mother.
Right, and his mom always wasn't a black woman. No. And gosh, there's a lot of prostitutes in
Nebraska Avenue.
Yeah. But kinda Piper.
Go ahead. Kind of reminds me of downtown, like Huntington near the
Huntington.
Near the DMV. That street.
Yeah.
They're always.
The West End is pretty tough too.
Yeah. So that's kind of scary. It's also sad that we've read off three that have been on Nebraska Avenue. And think, well, maybe we should keep a lookout on Nebraska Avenue. I don't know.
I mean, just think about how many prostitutes probably go missing in a day.
Yeah.
Still to this very day. You know, not a lot of representation there. Not a lot of people that may know that they're even into prostitution. They just maybe separated themselves from their family and started a new life. So it's kind of hard to pinpoint that down. But I really think that right now is a good place to take a break.
Welcome back.
All right. So in early November, Bobby snatched a 17-year-old girl off of the street and raped her, but he spared her life when she described acts of incest performed by her father. So since he released her, she was capable of describing him and his car, and so Bobby sealed his own fate. But police were too slow to save victim Kim Swan, who was a victim murdered 2 days later in a final frenzy. So I guess he was guilted by this young girl.
Yeah, let's just pause real quick because he let her go because she had discussed incest performed by her father. And I don't know if you all listening recall, but in part one, we discussed how Bobby claimed that his mother would have sex with these men in the same bed that he was sleeping in or not sleeping in as he was growing up, but his mother said that those allegations weren't true. So this makes me think like maybe they were a little bit true and that's why he let her go. I don't know.
Yeah, some potential PTSD there.
Yeah.
For sure, but I think he knew that he kind of bit the bullet on that one, and that's why he decided to kill Kim.
For sure. So, on May 13th, 1984, the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office responded to the scene of a homicide in southern Hillsborough County, where the body of a nude female had been discovered. This was the beginning of an intensive eight-month investigation into the abduction, rape, and murder of at least 10 women in three jurisdictions in the Tampa Bay area. This investigation would ultimately involve the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the Tampa Police Department, the Pasco County Sheriff's Office, and the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. So that's like a major investigation right there with all of those departments working on this one case.
Yeah, and they need it because obviously they couldn't keep up with him in the beginning. And you know, this kind of reminds me of our past episodes. What's going on with I mean, maybe these people are slick and people just don't expect it. But at the same time, it's just like it's all there. I feel it's right there. Right. But I guess it's after the fact, and you can't really be like, well, this is what I would do, because neither one of us are in law enforcement. Neither one of us are in investigations, and people do lie every day.
Right. And they have to have solid evidence before they can, like, we know the evidence now reading it after mm-hmm. it's already been solved, but I'm sure during it, finding evidence to lay out this timeline of victims and figuring
out. They had their eyes everywhere with him going in and out of different jurisdictions as well. Right. Yeah. But never before had the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office been involved in a serial murder case of this magnitude. During one period of time in 8 months, Bobby was averaging a murder every other week.
That's crazy.
Insane. This series of killings would eventually end due to the efforts of homicide detectives who pored over each crime scene, striving to find any and all physical evidence. So they were really, really good. The FBI was on top of it and analyzed all of the evidence. And the close cooperation between all of these agencies involved, and the fact that the killer released one of his victims alive, you're going to get bit in the butt for that one. So that was physical evidence to ultimately round up all of these cases together.
Yeah, so after 8 months, they finally were able to tie all of these cases together, which is still, if you think about it, with all the departments involved, that's still a long investigation to be able to just get Bobby convicted of all of these crimes.
Absolutely. It's still a long investigation. They didn't want to miss anything, though, I guess. But it's just weird because you just think about all the time that, I don't know, just in between them kind of getting tips and everything, then he was still killing people. And just as a reminder, he was sent to death row, where he would be lethally injected 35 years after the fact. Just let that sink in.
When was that, 2018? Or is my math terrible?
35. Hold on. And this is why we have calculators on our phones.
Mm-hmm.
2018, 2019, around that time. You're smart.
Wow.
This is why you are our main researcher. Investigative journalist Piper White.
Absolutely not.
Who am I?
Investigative reporter.
I did get a plumber put in jail.
You did?
Yeah. So he had two businesses that were completely fraudulent, right? And he was going out in Beckley and different counties and sending people that weren't certified plumbers except one to work on these people's clogs and other plumbing issues. They paid thousands of dollars, well, like 300 to over thousands of dollars to get this work done by people that weren't even certified, nor did the business have contractor's license, and the job wouldn't be done, and they would continue to try to charge them and say, oh, we'll come out and fix it, never do it. And then this guy went to jail for it after three, four months after the story I did.
That's crazy. And then,
yeah, I had the attorney general's office calling, asking questions. It was pretty insane. You want to plug your business?
It's good if you all need any help with marketing with small businesses or new logos. Hit up Fetch Branding and Marketing, and we'll see what we can do for you.
Where can they find it?
On Instagram at Fetch My Brand. And
yeah, we'll have to get that a look. Maybe they can help out crime checks.
Maybe so. We'll have to look.
Y'all might need a layout.
We'll talk business.
Yeah, we'll talk about discounts later. But well, with that being said, go ahead and let us know what you think about our business, the Crime Chicks, on Instagram and Facebook at Crime Chicks Podcast, or Twitter at crime_chicks.
And if
you're not gonna lie, I'm just gonna say this. I've been lacking on our Twitter. I have not been the best at posting on Twitter. I am going to get better. I promise. My schedule changes every single week. So it's just weird trying to keep all this stuff balanced.
You are good. We do our best, and that's all that matters.
Period.
But if you don't have social media, but still want to tell us your thoughts on this case, you can email us at thetruecrimechicks@gmail.com. And hey, honestly, email us whatever you want. Email us what you think. Email us future cases. Email us just a what's up, what's good, whatever you want to do. Our email's there for a reason. Or DM us, whatever. We don't care.
Well, yeah, and you can also share your stories with us that you want us to tell about maybe your hometown, a murder that you've heard of or a crime that you've heard of in your hometown that you think is pretty interesting and that you want to share with us and get out to the public, because we take not only requests about certain serial killers or murderers or, you know, cold cases, but we also would love to hear any stories that you have to share. And I think we can throw in some spooky stories in there, because we kind of lacked on October for Halloween. So I wouldn't mind picking up the ball on that again.
Yeah, me neither. Also, be sure to leave us a review on iTunes. We have tons and tons of reviews, actually. 23, in fact, which is really good for us. But just be sure to leave a review and let us know what you think, not only about us and our storytelling in our episodes, but also season 2 as a whole. Do you like what we're doing now, or did you prefer season 1? Let us know, because we can't fix anything or change anything unless we know.
And if you really like us and you give us those reviews, that puts us closer to the top of the ratings, letting other people see that we exist and letting them know that, hey, I can click on this and listen to it and be entertained and informed about certain things maybe going on in my area or close by. But with that being said, we hope that you guys
stay
curious.
Bye.
Body. Piper, we bodied that. What?
Fuck it. Easy.